Welcome to History from the Hill of Peace, a podcast that offers a glimpse into the rich 250-year history of Friedberg Moravian Church. Nestled on the Forsyth and Davidson County line in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, we celebrate generations of God's goodness, faithfulness, and love. Relax and enjoy as our guests take us from Friedberg's roots to where we are today.
We want to welcome you to this episode of History from the Hill of Peace. We're excited to have you back. As Friedberg Moravian Church celebrates its 250th anniversary, there's so many stories to tell about the church itself, its humble roots, and the people that shaped it. During each episode, we feature a story, we read a Moravian daily text, and we have some surprise visitors that join us along the way. Today, I want to welcome back Jimmy Snyder, our church historian, a voice that we all know so well. So he is part of the church's 250th anniversary committee. He is the leader of the recently expanded historical committee. He's involved in the Moravian Provincial Band, and he's vice president of the Wachovia Historical Society. Jimmy, we're really excited to have you back again today. You have been a favorite of so many of our listeners, so I'm excited to see what you have in store for our listeners today. I see that we're going to be talking about the Wachovia Moravian. I see the year 1893 on the paper across from there, so I guess we're going to do a little time traveling today.
Yes. First off, again, thank you for having me. I certainly enjoy doing this. What we're going to look at is the Wachovia Moravian, and we may have to do it in two podcasts, or we may be able to do it in one, just don't know yet. But the Wachovia Moravian is the forerunner to the Moravian magazine that we, as members of the Moravian Church, we get the magazine in the mail. And it just, you know, lets you know a little bit about what's going on. Well, the Wachovia Moravian dealt with the Wachovia tract. It dealt with this area here.
Which is a little bit different than the Moravian magazine that we get now.
The Moravian magazine we get now covers the northern and southern province. The Wachovia Moravian did just what its name says. It covered just Wachovia.
How fitting.
The first issue of it, Volume 1, Issue 1, came out in March of 1893. So it's interesting to go back and read some of these. And what I've done is I've gone through the year of 1893, and I have pulled out the stuff there that pertained to Friedberg.
Oh, this sounds fascinating.
It's interesting, some of the names that are involved in it. So we'll be slowly going through it, but we'll be giving out a lot of names. So if you're into tracking your family history, pay attention. You may hear one of your ancestors called out in this thing from what happened in 1893.
You guys heard Jimmy. Let's put on our listening ears and let's see what we've got from the Wachovia Moravian.
And I am going to read most of it rather than trying to paraphrase everything in it. A lot of times I believe looking at historical documents, we always can't necessarily clean them up. Sometimes we're better off just looking at the original document and going from there. So that's what I've done with this. So we'll get started on it. Volume 1, Number 1 of March 1893, a few years ago.
Just a few, so yes.
The health of people in this community, now we are talking about Friedberg, has been exceptionally good thus far in the new year, but few cases of sickness have come to the knowledge of our pastor. On Wednesday night, January the 11th, Sister Angeline Tesh had the misfortune to have her house burned down with all of its contents. She was away from home at the time, having left the previous Sunday. Subscription papers for the purpose of accumulating an organ fund for this congregation are being circulated. The committee in charge are the brethren John Burke, Lorenzo Mendenhall, Louis Fischel, and David Miller, and the sisters Mary Spall, Elias Spall, and Julia Kraus. The intention is to make up an amount of money sufficient to purchase a first-class instrument, both in volume of tone and reliable workmanship. Little side note there, I think it's interesting because the organ we had been using for like 60 years prior to this was a Tannenberg organ, one of three that was in Wachovia. One of them is now in the Salem Visitor Center, had been in the home church. Another one is in the Single Brothers House on Main Street. And the third one ended up here at Friedberg, and we used it for many years. And if anybody knows where that Tannenberg went, we certainly would like to know.
Oh, Jimmy, another mystery item.
Yes, I'm afraid so. It was sold, and the church record shows that it was sold when we bought the new organ. Just doesn't say to whom it was sold. And we really have no way of checking, but I know archives would be extremely excited if we could come up with the organ that we used to have here. So anyway, just keep that in the back of your head on things.
We love a good mystery,
Anyway, moving on, the Wachovia Moravian not only talked about some of the activities in the church, it also talked about marriages, births, deaths. It covered everything that went on during that period of time. So volume one, number one, talks about two deaths. On January the 13th, 1893, infant daughter of brother and sister Emmanuel and Addie Spall, aged 6 months, passed away. Also on January the 13th, 1893, Jacob Sides, who was the son of brother and sister Eli and Jane Sides, died from consumption at the age 37 years, 6 months, and 7 days. So move on to April, volume two, April 1893. The congregation of Friedberg reported 340 communicants at the close of 1892. That's a pretty good sized church, 340 communicant members. So when you start adding in children, non-communicant members, that's a good sized church, even for 1892.
So was Friedberg still considered a little country church
at
that time?
It was still a country congregation. During the past few years, an unusual number of the older people connected with this congregation have departed this life. So that's something you always have to deal with is members who are called home. A good many have moved to Salem, in which congregation the Friedberg element has for years formed an important part. And still, Friedberg remains large and strong and under the evident blessing of God. Anyone who visits at a time of wood getting or church repairing and sees how heartily the brethren are at work will be able to understand better how this congregation, so far removed from town and railroads, holds its own well. At a recent meeting of the Missionary Society, the following officers were chosen for the ensuing year: Brother Louis Fischel, president; Brother Frank Canals, vice president; Brother James Hall, secretary; Brother Louis Spall was treasurer. The collectors for the year are the brethren N.W. Shore and David Miller, and the sisters Martha Hall and Ella Spall, there being $18 in the treasury awaiting appropriation. It was decided to divide the amount and send one half to Brother Mark Richard for his new work on the island of Trinidad, and donate the other half towards a new boat for the Mosquito Coast to replace the META, M-E-T-A. The services were very numerously attended throughout the Passion Week reading meetings. They were held nightly. On Good Friday, the Holy Communion was celebrating. There was 160 who sat down together at the Lord's table. The foreign mission collection amounted to $7.50. On Easter Sunday, the graveyard and preaching services were held according to our usual custom. The choir rendered very acceptable services on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. You have a quizzical look in your face.
I did. I'm curious because you said there was $18 in the funds. So I was just quickly trying to Google what that would be in today's
value.
With
inflation.
With inflation, and it would be $614.
Which was a good size amount of money.
Absolutely.
Back then. I was looking at something earlier and getting off the subject a little bit, but Friedberg built their classroom building, which was a two-story classroom building, and it cost $5,000 to build it at that time. And if you put the inflation, and this was 1923, I think it was. So if you put the inflation into it, it works out to almost $90,000 in today's money, which was still a bargain.
Right.
To build a two-story frame building and all. When you start looking at some of these numbers that we put in, the small numbers, if you go back and get the inflation calculator and look at how much the cost of things have gone up since 1893.
It's always interesting, and it always kind of puts things into perspective a little bit as well.
Yeah, well, you realize just what a sacrifice it was to get some things done in those days.
Absolutely. I mean, when we talked about the quilt that they sold the names on, uh-huh. It was just a few cents, but in today's...
Well, during the Depression, that was a lot of money.
It really was.
Anyway, moving on. Volume 1, number 3, May of 1893. This is kind of a short one. The next number of the Wachovia Moravian will bring some account of what is popularly called the May Feast of Friedberg Congregation, held at the time when the southern spring is in the prime of its beauty amid lovely forest surroundings, in the bosom of congregation enthusiastically devoted to their own Zion, with the additional presence of many members to whom the place is dear for their own or their father's sake. A happier and heartier feast can scarcely be imagined. So they were talking about in the next volume that it's going to talk more about the May Feast. Received for foreign missions from Friedberg for May was $7.47. Volume 1, number 4, June 1893. The festival of single sisters and older girls was duly observed on the first Sunday of the month of May. It was a very happy occasion, was largely attended and happily enjoyed by the participants. On Saturday, May the 13th, the Congregational Festival was very delightfully celebrated. The morning dawned bright and clear and gave early promise of being a beautiful day. Clear skies, bright sunshine, balmy air, green forest, ripening wheat fields, and beautiful flowers combined to make a model May Day.
What a description.
They don't talk about the paved roads and the paved sidewalks like they would in Salem. So we were still out in the country and it was nice to enjoy nature out here. The congregation began to assemble 2 hours before the time appointed for the first service. Can you imagine people starting together here 2 hours before service now?
I can't, and I personally am one of those people that come in at the last minute, so.
And you're going to enjoy the next sentence. It says, the hitching groves were soon filled with vehicles and horses. There's an area designated to tie up your horse in your wagon or your buggy while you came to church. And, we're still 1893. So automobiles were not that popular in 1893. So there would have been a lot of horses here, but the hitching groves filled up early.
You can just visualize like this row of horses attached to the hitching post in front of the church.
Or trees, tree limbs, any number of things to tie a horse off to. The graveyard, the springs, the front yard and the porticos, the well and the benches under the large oaks were early occupied by groups of happy friends and relatives. The graveyard. People used to come down here from Salem and have picnics in our graveyard.
I've seen a photo of that somewhere along the way.
And they would also come down and have picnics at the springs. In this writing, it talks about the springs. There were actually three springs on our property here. In fact, there are still three springs. One of them is across the road beside the graveyard. One of them is behind the Family Life Center, and that was called the Indian Spring. The other spring is off of our west parking lot, and it was known as the White Spring, and that's where there was a little spring house built there, and a lot of people gathered around that area to get their fresh water. So anyway, moving on, the springs, the front yards, and the porticos. So there's all kinds of shady places they could gather here and sit and talk and socialize a little bit, because it was a social gathering. The May Festival is the occasion in the course of each year when relatives and friends meet one another at Freedburg to spend the day together in happy reunion. Many visitors from sister congregations are also usually present and are cordially welcomed. Among the large number of visitors present on this occasion were Brother C.A. Heggie, Brother and Sister Ebert, Brother Augustus Fogel of Salem, Brother and Sister James Butner from New Philadelphia, and Sister Tietz, T-I-E-T-Z-E, from West Salem, Illinois. So we had visitors coming from around different places. The pastor was made very happy by the presence and assistance of the ministerial brethren, Ron Thaler, Woosley, and Thaler. Ron Thaler was a bishop in the Moravian Church at that time. The sermon at 11 a.m. was preached by Bishop Edward Ron Thaler. The discourse was well adapted to the occasion and was full of thought eloquently presented. The historical references to the founding of the Freedburg congregation were very attentively listened to and highly appreciated. And Freedburg wasn't really that old at that time. It's 120 years old. looking at today at 250, they were just young and sin. Brother Hall, the pastor, presided in the love feast, which, after a short intermission, followed the preaching service. Addresses were made by the brother Arthur Thaler and Samuel Woosley. Samuel Woosley was a son of the Freedburg congregation, went on to be a minister. By previous arrangement, they spoke upon the subject of the theological seminary and the thorough education of candidates for the ministry. He was listened to with marked attendance, and thoughtful remarks were well received. Brother Woosley spoke eloquently of his personal enjoyment of the day and how it linked him to his former experiences and work as a member and servant of the congregation. Brother Hall spoke a few words in conclusion, referring especially to the importance of the subject presented by Brother Thaler. The immense congregation was admirably and comfortably provided for by the ushers and the chapel servants throughout these services. The members of the choir were at their best and performed their part of the services beautifully. The singing was very hearty and inspiring. The floral decorations, composed entirely of geraniums, was a delight of many eyes and added their own peculiar charm to the occasion. A marked feature of the May Festival is the children's outdoor meeting in the grove near the schoolhouse. Immediately after the love feast, the children are formed in line in the west yard near the well. The young people follow and the older people make up the rear. The pastor and visiting ministers take their places in the front. While marching to the designated spot, all unite in singing a familiar hymn. In the grove, the entire attendance forms in a large circle around the ministers, the children occupying the space on the inside of the ring. This talks about the well. We have, the well is now, or is where the historical room is. They capped off the well there and then built part of the sanctuary over the well. They moved the well house, which used to be over that well, out to the graveyard and made it a graveyard caretaker building. Just recently, the well house has been moved out of its hiding spot and has been moved out into the graveyard and has been refurbished, repainted, really looks nice, and it is the oldest building on the Freedburg campus.
Yes, so it was hidden, not really hidden, but it was kind of out of sight for most people that visited the church before it was recently moved.
Unless you went out in the graveyard, you could not see it. It was back there in that far right corner, and it was hidden.
It really was, but there's a fresh coat of paint on it, and there you would not know it's the oldest building on the property by just looking at it. It was the talk of the cemetery when we had our Easter service out there in April. I think Easter was in April this year. But everybody was commenting on the building and they wanted to know more about it. So it's great to have this living piece of history still on the property here at Freedburg with a great story as well.
The building, the well house, has very thick walls and a thick ceiling on it. Double wood, outside wood and inside wood, tongue and groove wood on the inside. And between the two walls, they filled it with wood shavings. And that's what provided insulation around the four walls of the building and the ceiling of the building. So it didn't get so cold in there that the water would freeze. So it was used, it had insulation in it. And they discovered some of that when they moved it and took some of the boards off the bottom. The insulation started coming out of it. So it's interesting the way it was put together and all. So.
Definitely. It just proves that they built things with what they had and they built things to last. Look at it.
And it's nice having that here. It looks good where it is and it's nice to have it here. The songs prepared for this meeting were rendered with much spirit to the delight of all who heard them. Bishop Ron Thaler's address was full of point and lively with appropriate illustrations suited to interest and impress young minds. The service closed by the whole congregation singing two stanzas of Jesus, Lover of My Soul, and to the O.T. benediction, which pronounced by Brother Hall, Bishop Ron Thaler then distributed a large number of children's illustrated papers to the little ones who flocked around him. On Whit Sunday, a large congregation assembled and celebrated the Lord's Supper. The pastor reached upon the subject of the importance of a thorough theological education for our ministerial candidates. He illustrated his remarks by special references to Moses and Paul, the thoroughly educated leaders of the Old and New Testament times. The first collection for the theological seminary was taken up. The amount was encouraging for a beginning in the direction. The collection is to be repeated annually, and it the decided option of the pastor that it would be means of great blessing to the congregation. So they were supporting, Freedburg was starting to support the theological seminary. Continuing on for the same issue, in the Freedburg congregation on May 20th, 1893, Elmira Susie, daughter of brother and sister Zacharias and Sarah Fischel, aged 11 years, 8 months, 3 days, was called home. Volume 1, number 5, July 1893. On the 11th of June, Brother Arthur Thaler filled the pastor's regular appointment at Eden Chapel, which was a daughter congregation from Freedburg, at 3 p.m. At the same hour, the pastor began to hold stated preaching services at Pleasant Fork, about 4 miles south of Salem. On a recent occasion, the Pleasant Fork Sunday School expressed a unanimous desire to be recognized as a Moravian school. Brother Wesley Fischel is the superintendent, Brother Eugene Shore, assistant superintendent, and Mr. Sanford Spall was secretary. And if I'm not badly mistaken, that later grew into the Advent congregation.
Oh, that's interesting.
The Pleasant Fork Church. Brother Thaler was at Freedburg on Sunday evening, June the 25th, for the purpose of organizing a VPSCE, which I do not know what those initials stands for, but it has something to do with Sunday school. In the magazine, that's all it said. It was VPSCE.
Okay.
After setting forth the object of the society and the manner of operating in Christian activities, names of members were called for. The result was an organization of 21 charter members. In the first business meeting, which was held by Brother David Woosley, he was elected president. Brother Franklin Canals was vice president. Sister Ella Spall was secretary. Sister Emma Krause was treasurer. The prayer meeting committee was appointed, composed of Brother John Crouch and Francis Fischel and Sister Mary Crouch. I love this because we're getting a lot of names from the 1890s that people today can look back on and say, oh, that was my great-great-grandmother, you know. And so I like getting the names in. The Freedburg Sunday School is diligently preparing for a summer concert interspersed with septuagint views, magic lantern. This will come up again in some other things. It was a lot like an old viewfinder type stereophonic, where you'd put the pictures in it and hold it up to your eyes and look through it, and it looked like they were 3D. But this was a projector where you could put the pictures in it, and it had a lens on it and a light source, and it would project the image up on the wall.
Oh, that's really cool.
And that's the reason they called it a magic lantern. So it's interesting. Bishop Roundthaler, we may get into it later, he had one.
So you could almost say that might be the first technology.
Well, yes.
In the church, in a weird way.
It could be, you know.
Interesting.
Anyway, we will move on with this. The proceeds are to meet the current Sunday school expenses.
Well, Jimmy, I think I want to stop you right there tonight because we've covered a lot of great information. We've gone through March of 1893 all the way through July of 1893. And I know you have so much more content to share with us. So would you be willing to come back next time and maybe share some additional months from the Wachovia Moravian so we can kind of continue this journey?
Sure, we can come back and we can pick up and do the rest of the year of 1893 and get some of the interesting things. We won't get the full 1893 because what happened in December of 1893, I don't think I may have gone to July of 1894. We'll see. But we'll get close to the end of the year 1893.
Well, that sounds great. Well, I can't wait to hear more of this. This has been absolutely wonderful to kind of get a glimpse into what was going on at Freedburg. And like you said just a moment ago, throwing these names in there is just kind of, the light bulbs are going off because you kind of recognize some of these last names, and we still have people in our congregation that are related to these individuals.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So let's do it again, Jimmy.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
welcome to the podcast Rose Wardlow, who's going to be reading the Moravian Daily Text for Sunday, October the 15th.
Right, the righteousness known the rights of poor of the poor, Philippians 29-7. May we now remain in unity with each other and the Lord, and passing in sweet command joys that earth cannot afford. Jesus says, I will give you a banquet inviting the poor and the crippled, the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. Luke 13-14. Feast after feast, thus come and pass by, yet passing point to that glad feast above, given sweet for taste, for the feast joy, the lamb, great marriage, feast of bliss and love. Who are sisters and brothers, O Lord, but all of your children? Why are the people who discomfort and disquiet us the most usual, the ones who help us grow up and nurture? May we not hesitate to help us grow and may nurture. May we not hesitate to practice radical hospitality as we learn to recognize and honor your divinity in all others. Amen.
As always, we want to thank you for joining us for this episode of History from the Hill of Peace. We want to invite you to join us again next time as we continue speaking with Jimmy Snyder about the articles featured in the 1893 editions of the Wachovia Moravian. We also want to give a huge thank you to Rose Wardlow for reading our Moravian Daily Text. We want to invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And while you're at it, follow Freeburn Moravian Church on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And be sure to check out our church website, freeburn.church. If you live in the Winston-Salem, North Carolina area, or if you're visiting, make plans to join us on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for worship. We'd love for you to join us for worship here on the Hill of Peace.